Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet in freedom today. And we just pray for our brothers and sisters who are unable to meet in freedom today. Would they know your strength? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So any primary school age children, if they'd like to come to the front, and there's an activity that Sarah is going to do with you, the rest of you would like to sit down. And if you want to grab your Bibles, that would be really helpful. And if there's one or two adults who could assist Sarah, that would be really very much appreciated. As you can see, there's quite a number of children. So one or two adults to help Sarah, that would be great. Otherwise, it will be Suffering Sunday for Sarah as well. Okay, if you could take hold of your Bible, that would be really helpful. And we're looking at Acts chapter 8, so it's page 131 of the New Testament section of the Bible. And so Suffering Church Sunday is an opportunity for us to think about the freedoms we have as Christians, but also to think about our brothers and sisters and the persecution they're facing. And we had that reading from Acts chapter 8, where there's talk of severe persecution taking place. But I just want to go back to a few verses in chapter 7. So looking at verse 54 in chapter 7, just a paragraph above, where Stephen, their brother in Christ, is stoned to death. And I just want to read those words. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. So they've just seen their brother in Christ die, stoned to death. And then partway through verse 1 it says, that day a severe persecution began against the church. Stephen's been stoned to death. He's shown amazing faith. Now the persecution continues. The church is split up. People are running away. But verse 2, some of the Christians still get together and they bury Stephen. They mourn his loss. Verse 3, the persecution continues. Even though they've seen Stephen suffer, even though the Christians are spread up, Saul tells the people to go to the houses, drag the Christians out, and put them into prison. How would you or I feel in such a situation? I know when I read that, I think, thank God that I wasn't around in the early church, that I didn't face such persecution. And I only have to imagine what it is like. Those features, severe persecution, Christians dispersed, mourning the loss and suffering, relentless persecution. But if you're a Christian in Mosul, in Iraq today, that's exactly your experience. You don't need to read Acts verses 1 to 3 to imagine it, because that's taking place. And not only that situation in Iraq, just put some other examples on the screen of severe persecution that's taking place. So in Iraq, if you're a Christian woman, you may have been captured by the extremists and facing serious assault every day unless you convert to Islam. In Nigeria, scores of Christians killed by Boko Haram. In Uzbekistan, Christian leader arrested, imprisoned, and Christians told that they can't meet together. Imagine if you or I were in that situation. Imagine if there were women in our congregation who were in prison today and being assaulted unless they converted to Islam. Imagine if Rob was under arrest and we were told we couldn't meet today. How would we feel? How would our faith fare? Suffering Church Sunday is a time when we all stop and pause and really think about our brothers and sisters today in Christ who are facing persecution today. As Sarah asked those questions earlier on about whether we read our Bible, whether we pray, whether we praise God, we can all do that in freedom today. But for many of our brothers and sisters to do that means to potentially face losing their lives. But we need to be encouraged as well, because our brothers and sisters are showing incredible faith in God. And we see the church growing. Sorry, Lou, if you go on to the next screen, thanks. And the Bible, the New Testament, was written in the context where there was a lot of persecution taking place. That was the experience of the early church. And so the Bible often refers to the suffering of Christians, and they're encouraged in the face of their suffering to remember that their Lord, Savior, and King, Jesus, also suffered. And it's strange when we read something like that first verse where it says, consider it joy in terms of facing suffering. And we mustn't misinterpret that. It's not that Christians who are suffering are meant to say, hey, great, I'm suffering, I'm facing real persecution. What they're meant to rejoice in is the fact they're suffering for Christ. And I know that's quite hard for me. It's probably quite hard for you as well to get our heads around. But actually, when we read the testimony of Christians today, then we see this is their experience. The final verses from Thessalonians. The Thessalonica church was a young church. It was facing severe persecution. And yet the amazing thing was they received the word of God with joy. And actually the Bible says in Thessalonians that their faith was like a resounding gong. Everybody in the surrounding area heard about the persecution that was taking place, but also heard about the amazing faith of the Christians as well. It doesn't make sense, does it? Logically, it doesn't make sense if you're a Christian being persecuted, or if you're in a Christian community and you're being persecuted, that your faith would grow. And yet that's a testimony of the Bible, and it's a testimony of Christians today. And I know when I became a Christian in the mid-1980s, and some of you may have also prayed for the Christians in the former Soviet Union. I remember we prayed for one in particular, Valery Baranov, who faced severe persecution, who was sent to Siberia and the terrible prison conditions there. And yet their letters, their testimony when they came out, were amazing stories of incredible faith. And that's true today in China, in North Korea, in other countries where the church has been persecuted. What you see is a church growing and people giving great testimonies of faith. But as I know, as I've thought about Suffering Church Sunday, one of the dangers I've got into is I tend to think of the Suffering Church as actually a separate entity to us. We have church here, and then you have the Suffering Church that's somewhere else. Yet I've been really challenged this week to think, actually, they're my brothers and sisters. They're not members of this congregation, but we're members of one church together. So if you'd have asked me previously, am I a member of the suffering church? Am I a member of the persecuted church? I would have said no. But actually, I think the answer is, I am. I am a member of the persecuted church because my brothers and sisters today, who are a member of the same body of Christ, are being persecuted. And that's made me think differently about how I view my brothers and sisters who are being persecuted today. We need to be encouraged. God is sovereign. God reigns over all. And as I say, if you go onto sites such as the Barnabas Fund, there are great stories of encouragement, of faith, as well as stories that are quite challenging in terms of the persecution that people are facing. So on Suffering Church Sunday, we can do two things. We can think about our context. Some of us in our church will face low-level persecution. What I mean by that is there will be people in our church today who are ostracized at their place of work, who may have difficult family relationships. We know from the media that there are some Christians who lose their jobs because they stand up for Christian values. We know we live in a society where it's increasingly okay to be anti-Christian. But on the whole, it's low-level persecution. So we can give thanks for the freedom we have. I don't think any of us, when we're coming to church today, we're in fear of our lives, in fear of meeting together. We need to give thanks to God for the freedoms we have. We need to pray for wisdom and grace to know what to do in our current situation. And we need to make the most of the freedoms we have. You know, some Christian leaders predict that in 10, 20, 30 years' time, we may not be able to meet in the same way. We don't want to look back in 20 or 30 years' time and said, if only we'd have done more for the gospel when we had the freedoms. So one of the challenges for us in our context is, how much do we speak the gospel? How much do we live the gospel with the freedoms we have? And also, we need to support one another. Sarah asked earlier on about home groups, how people belong to home groups. They're a great place to support one another if we are facing challenges in living the Christian life, if we're facing that low-level persecution. And then there's a context for others, for our brothers and sisters in different situations, who this day face severe persecution, loss of family, loss of home, loss of work, loss of even their life for claiming the name of Christ. First thing we need to do is actually humbly give thanks for their incredible faith, for their witness, and for the growth of the church in such difficult circumstances. But then we need to pray for our brothers and sisters, pray that they would have the wisdom and grace to know what to do in such situations. I honestly don't know what I would do in those situations that we looked at earlier on. But then we need to support. I know if I was a Christian in Nigeria, facing possible loss of my life, what would I want my brothers and sisters to do in another part of the world? I want them to do something about it. I want them to pray. I want them to act. One of the things we can do, and no number of you are involved in this, is go onto the site, the Barnabas Fund site, receive their magazine, look at their prayer list, and to pray, write to governments, write to members of parliament, to try and support our brothers and sisters. So on Suffering Church Sunday, we can look at our own situation, we can think about our brothers and sisters, but we need to be encouraged as well. Our God is a sovereign God. He is at work in the most difficult circumstances. And if you go on a site such as Barnabas Fund, actually, you'll be horrified at the suffering that's taking place. But I know I'm blown away by the incredible faith of our brothers and sisters. So I just want us to have a few minutes quiet as we each individually think about what is our response today on Suffering Church Sunday. So just let's have a few moments quiet and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are sovereign, that you reign over all. We thank you that your word is truth, that you warn that persecution will take place. And we lift our brothers and sisters, Lord, those in Iraq, in Nigeria, in Uzbekistan, those who are facing such severe persecution. First of all, Lord, we thank you for their incredible faith. And Lord, we pray for your hand over them. Grant them your wisdom and grace. And may they this day, Lord, know that they're brothers and sisters in Christ here, that one church together, we are praying for them and supporting them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things we can do to encourage one another, but also as a testament of faith to our brothers and sisters, is to say the creed together. So let's stand.